See, you would turn in your Bibles this morning to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'd just like to say how thankful I am to actually be standing up here and to be able to preach this morning. I can't believe that I've actually been here now for 9 years taking classes. So I've been here for quite some time now, and I'm finally getting to a point where I'm about ready to graduate. But I'd like to talk most pointedly to seniors tonight, or this morning, but also to underclassmen. It's going to be for everyone. Everyone needs to hear from the Word of God. I've been here for 9 years, and I'm about ready to go out. You seniors have been here. This is your fourth year. You're getting ready. These are your final days, your final semester. And pretty soon, most of you are going to be launching out from here. You're going to be going either being a pastor, working under a pastor, being a missionary, starting out on the deputation trail. You're going to be leaving here where you have been grounded in the truth. You've been taught the Bible faithfully day after day, year after year. You've gotten an education. You've learned, hopefully, from what you've been taught. But pretty soon, you can't rely on just what you have received here. You need to remain with what you've had while you're out there. So in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6 is my text verse. Colossians 2, 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. If I have a title, it would be, As Ye Have Received Christ. Paul, writing to the book, or to the church in Colossae, the book of Colossians here, first off, he gave them a commendation. So I'd like to see the commendation for standing in verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So he starts off here saying, I am joying that you have stood. Joying that you have an order about you. You have grown. You have come to a point where you are doing things decently and in order. You are at a point where you know what's going on. You know what you're supposed to do. And you're staying in it. You're staying active with what you've been taught. As he said, he has taught them. He's been there. He's instructed them in what to do. And now he's given them commendation, writing back to them, saying, I see that you are standing. I see that you have an order. And that order there means a fixed regiment, shall we say, a schedule, something that they're doing routinely. They know what they're doing. They're set in it. And this steadfastness in your faith, the word steadfastness means strong, firm, unmovable. It comes from an interesting word. The words that steadfastness comes from is where we get our English word stereo. Usually when we think of the word stereo, we think of a radio and having two speakers. Well, the whole idea of stereo is something that is firm, firmly planted, and actually it means three-dimensional. When you think of a stereo, how a speaker's on one side and a speaker's on the other side, you don't just hear two, but you can alternate the volume on either speaker and get a three-dimensional effect. To really put this in perspective, is if I was standing up here, feet together, almost like I had one leg, if somebody was to come up and push me, I would fall over very easily. But stereo, the idea of two as we come to think of it, if I'm standing up here and I put my feet apart and I'm well planted, just as a football player on the front line, ready to get hit, if he's standing here like this, as soon as they charge, he's going to be back. But if he has his feet spread apart and standing firm, you're not going to knock him over. At least me, I couldn't knock anybody over. But the idea is they are planted. Their feet are secured in what they know, what they've been taught. When you go out of here, and freshmen, sophomores, juniors, you need to be taking this time to get grounded, to be steadfast in what you believe. We've all come here with our own ideas, half of us fairly uneducated as far as the Bible. We had our common Bible knowledge, but not steadfastly grounded. Well, this is your time to get firmly planted, to get that orderly system in your mind to think and know what you believe and why you believe it. So Paul gave them commendation for their orderliness and their steadfastness in the faith. But the second thing I see is not just a commendation for standing, but a command for walking. Back to our text verse in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now, you've received your education, or those of you who are receiving your education, you can't just take that knowledge, put it in the back of your mind, and then just let it stay there. You can't just be steadfast in what you believe. Now you need to put feet to your thoughts. You need to put these ideas that you've been trained up in into action. In verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding then therein with thanksgiving. So for this command for walking, He's saying, you're doing well, now keep at it. Keep doing it. This command is also a present tense. You've many heard from this pulpit, a present tense idea is a continuous action. Not just a one time, okay, walk for a little bit, but no, continue walking. Don't stop. The steadfastness, if you're going to stay firm in it, you have to stay firm and continue in that firmness while you're walking. If you start wavering, you're going to be in trouble. So rooted and built up in Him, as it says here in verse 7. They were planted. They were given the seeds they needed in, shall we say, their education while Paul was instructing them. He planted the seeds. Then He watered those seeds, training them, answering questions, giving them instruction, not just from an intellectual standpoint, but how to put those instructions into practice. So they were rooted and then built up. They grew in the faith. He saw them grow, saw them mature in the faith. And then He saw them established in the faith. And then abounding with thanksgiving. We can have the book knowledge. We can put it into practice. But a good clue, a good sign, whether you are doing this in the work of the Holy Spirit or in your own flesh, is how thankful are you while you are out working for God? Out while you're on visitation? Are you thankful to be out there? Thankful to be able to give somebody in need the gospel. Give them what they need to hear for eternal life. Are you thankful about it? Is that something that brings joy to your life? Or is it just something you do on a routine basis? Of course, we have CSRs here and you have to fill them out. Do you do it just for your CSRs? Or do you do it because you enjoy it? Because you are thankful for the gift that God has given you, and you want to share that gift with other people so that they can enjoy the gift of salvation for themselves. When you've been taught what to believe, and the faculty and staff here, they're teaching you well. They're teaching you right from the Bible. They've studied it. But once you've been taught that, now you need to put it into action. You need to walk in the faith. You need to continue on. After He gives them the commendation and then the command to keep walking, he also cautions them against wavering. Verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So the caution against wavering he gives here. First off, of philosophy. Philosophy is pretty much just the love of knowledge. You can go to classes day in and day out and just absorb the hermeneutics. Absorb the Greeks and the Hebrews. You can absorb the different facts that go together, when this happened, where Paul went exactly throughout his journeys. You can have all that in your minds and memorized. But if you only have that head knowledge, and it doesn't affect your heart, doesn't it get you excited and wanting to get out and do something with that knowledge, then you just have philosophy. You just have the love of the knowledge and not the love of the one who gave us that knowledge. We all need to have a desire to spread the word. Not just be excited about the word, but excited about the person who gave us the word and excited to give it out. So don't be spoiled through just the book learning while you're here. And secondly, he says about vain deceits. That's about flattering tales of empty truth. It's something that, shall we say, once you're out of here, you've gotten your education, but now it comes to a point where somebody comes up to you and says, "I've got this great idea. We're going to have this great teen activity. We're going to bring in this group that's going to entertain our teens for a while, and we're going to gather all these teens in from the neighborhood, and then, after the band has played for about 2 hours, we're going to give them a 15-minute devotional, and we're going to see thousands saved." That's vain. That's empty. You've heard time after time, what you get them with is what you keep them with. If we're using the world's methods to bring people into the church, then we're going to have to keep the world's methods to keep them in the church. Because we're not going to be rooting them, grounding them in the truth. It's just going to be entertainment. And that's vanity. Just feeding the flesh is vain. You feed your flesh today, you go to the cafeteria, you're going to eat lunch. I'm pretty sure that most of you are going to be hungry again by dinner time. Or if you're not hungry again by dinner time, you're probably going to be pretty hungry tonight when you're in the dorms, or at least tomorrow for breakfast. This flesh, you can feed it, but once that's gone, it's hungry again. It's always wanting more. The same is true with entertainment. You can watch one movie or play one game, but that's never enough. You want more. You're always craving something else. Well, if you're feeding this flesh, it's just going to get hungry again. And it's all vanity. It gets you nowhere. So he says, don't be deceived by vain deceit or by philosophy or traditions of men. Those things that have come about by following man's teachings and not from the Bible. Anytime we swerve from what the Bible says and follow after what a man says, we're in trouble. Calvinism, Arminianism, New Evangelicalism. These things are all that have come about through man's philosophies, through man's thinkings. We need to stand and be grounded firm in what the Bible says. Men have great ideas. Men here have great ideas. But only follow those ideas as they follow the Bible. As Paul said, follow after me, even as I follow after Christ. With the idea is, if I'm not following after Christ, don't follow me, follow Christ. Follow after Him, follow after what He's doing. And right here is where we learn about Christ, His teachings, His Word. So as it says here at the end of verse 8, and after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. we're cautioned about following the philosophies of men, following vain deceits and traditions of men. But most importantly, we're cautioned about not following after Christ. If you don't have a daily walk with Him, if you're not daily in His Word, reading the Bible, praying, getting to know your Heavenly Father, then you are going to waver. You've heard it several times, but it's so true. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. If you let sin keep you from this, you're going to waver. If you let the ideas of man into your mind, and you're following after them, and you're not following after Christ, you're going to waver, and you will fall. Galatians 1:9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. You've received the gospel. You have it in your hands. You received instruction of the gospel in the classes. If you go out, seniors, you're going to be out there in the world very soon. You're going to be seeing the ideas of men. If those ideas of men do not follow after Christ's teaching, after what you can find firmly in the Bible, you are going to go into wrong doctrine, wrong teaching, and you are going to be teaching other people. This is one of the scariest things about being up in this pulpit, is, am what I am saying, what is in the Bible? Am I going to say something that is wrong, that's going to lead somebody else astray? If there's anything that I am afraid of when I get in a pulpit to preach, is am I going to say something that is going to lead somebody in a wrong direction? That's why we are here. All of us, from freshmen to seniors. That's why we came here. That's why we're going out, is to teach. So what you've been taught, stand fast, stand firm. And may God be able to say to you one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Make sure that you're standing fast every day in the Word and in prayer with God, or the warning is there. You will waver and you will fall.